Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the EFL Fantasy Podcast. My name is Angus.
My name is Dan.
And we are here to review the Game Week 20 action, or our highlights from it. Some interesting sort of results at the weekend. At least from my point of view, I don't know how your game week went down, but from my point of view, we'll spend minimal time talking about our teams. We'll get into a couple of key points, answer your questions, and get this out for you nice and quickly because it's a midweek deadline. But first things first, Dan, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. Watched Lewin today. I wish the game finished at half time, let's put it that way, considering we scored on the edge. Fantasy wise, disappointed, another red arrow. Should I jump into the review of the team?
Yeah, why not?
So I got 73 minus 4. I'm building towards Budget Buster. I did Matty Pearson and Chaplin in for Hume and Stansfield. So that move actually went quite well. Captain Somerville for 24, Vice Captain Dewsby Hill for 4, Johansson 3, Matty Pearson 3, Walker Peters 4, Davis 8, Smodix 2, Philogene 0, Rutter 7, and Broadhead 4. So it went okay, didn't it? But didn't go great. I still managed the red arrow. So it's frustrating because I think I sort of got confused with what I was going to do. And then I'm obviously building towards Budget Buster. So I'm making my team weaker. Philogene could perhaps score some points when I own him. That would be good. But couple more weeks of build and then hopefully play Budget Buster and hopefully get a green arrow.
Yeah, that's what you really want, isn't it? I am having a great time at the moment where I am testing the limits of how low an engaged manager can be ranked. And it's one of those things where it's almost just incredible to me. I look at my team each week, I'm quite happy with it, and it all goes wrong from there. But yeah, 64 minus 4 for me, down to 750th. I brought in Burns, Whittaker, and Famewo this week. Actually benched for Mayo, started Whittaker and Burns. Wasn't much of a difference. I sold, who did I sell? Collins. Someone else who I'm already forgetting. clearly what? It's that they weren't
you sell Clark
to me. Sold Jack Clark, sold Collins. And Stansfield. I sold Stansfield. There we go. Got there in the end. which for a minus 4, which actually didn't cost me too much. I mean, selling Jack Clark, he proceeded to turn around to do basically nothing. Unfortunately, Wes Burns did as well. I had O'Leary in goal for 4, NG 8, Walker Peters 4, Davis 8, Somerville vice captain for 18, Philogene 0. Captain to Dewsbury Hall with Leicester hauling. You think, oh, that's great. Nope. Six pointer there. Burns 3, Whittaker 2, Broadhead 4, and Rutter 7. Not much else to say. you sort of hear that team, and for the most part, it doesn't sound that bad. And yet, you know, it's another red arrow. So that's what I'm dealing with at the moment. Also building towards Budget Buster. But so without further ado, let's get into the team news from this week. So Dan, I'll hand over to you for that.
Yeah, so quite a bit this week. Sakamoto and Sims in This is Coventry. Godden not in the squad for Birmingham. No Laird, Dramé, or Sanderson in the squad. So Bakuna played right back. Djukovic played up front for Sunderland. Bellingham played as the striker. For West Brom, Maja was up front. Thomas Asante was on the bench. Wallace wasn't in the squad. For Millwall, Sarkic was back in goal. Bristol City, three at the back, and it seems like they played Sykes and Bell as wing backs. So, not sure about that. Leicester, no Pereira, Vardy, or Nacho. So, Daka suddenly got thrust into striker position. For Plymouth, they done the thing where they decided to rest a lot of their players, manage their squad. Obviously, it's a 3-game week. Isla Hayden, Mwamba, and Hardy were on the bat were on the bench. For Norwich, Gunn was back in goal. McLean was still at centre back. Preston Hughes is playing left wing back over Brady and Best. Borough, quite a few changes. Clark, Engle, and Greenwood were in. Jones, McNair, Deitch, Steele were out. For QPR, Cook and Chair were back in the starting lineup. Dunn was on the bench, which I think a few that wasn't ideal for, I think. For Stoke, Bonham, the goalie, was this a big miss, him not being there? Sinking, the young goalie, was in goal. Hoover was benched. Rotherham, Morrison, and Hugel were on the bench. Swansea Keys started right back with Bolasie starting. Yates was on the bench. Watford, Hamer was still in goal. For Southampton, Smallbone bench. Front three was Alcaraz, Adams, and Armstrong. That's your team news this week.
Yeah, I think there's some interesting ones there. It's worth noting for on Plymouth, you mentioned a few were out. I think they rotated five or six for this game. So for those who are worried about their players missing out, I think they were quite proactive with the rotation. And then a couple, for example, Azaz and Whittaker did come off relatively early. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that if you know if you're a worried sort of like Kessler Hayden owner, for example, I
Me.
wouldn't be. But yeah, so hopefully that helps. We're now going to dive into a couple of key points. I'll go first on this one. I have decided, I mentioned them last week and decided to go back to the well a little bit more specifically. I obviously mentioned the teams near the bottom that had turnarounds recently. And the two that I was most keen on were obviously QPR and Sheffield Wednesday. Who both then got good results at the weekend. But I'm just going to do a little bit more on QPR, and particularly the 6-game run we've now got since Marty Cifuentes took over, because I think it is instructive for people in terms of the turnaround under under him and some interesting things to bear in mind as well. So in the 6 games since he came in, they've won three, drawn two, and lost one. So the 6 games since he came in, they drew with Rotherham away, one all, Bristol City at home, nil nil, lost 1-0 away to Norwich, beat Stoke at home 4-2, beat Preston away 2-0, and beat Hull away at home, sorry, 2-0. The thing to note there, that's three clean sheets in 6 games as well. And only one narrow loss, being their only defeat. And when you think about something like Rotherham away, with Rotherham's home record, that's actually, particularly in his first game, that's not that bad. I think he'd been in charge for like, 3 days or whatever. But you can see it starting to build. They've conceded only conceded 4 goals. They've scored 9 in those 6 games. Obviously, eight of which have come in the last three, which is when it's really started to pick up. I also just wanted to note the XG in those games, in that they conceded less than one XG in every game since Cifuentes took over, which is obviously the big thing, particularly when people are. I mean, it's particularly relevant now people are looking at Budget Buster, but I also think it's relevant more generally, particularly when we get into someone like Powell, who we've mentioned multiple times this season. But they've also gone over 1xG 3 times, including the Stoke game, they went over 2. So things are clearly improving. They've sort of, they've had some mixed, but in terms of how far under one conceded, but it's all under. So I think the defensive base is clear to see in terms of what Cifuentes is doing in terms of building off that defensive base. But it, as I say, he's added goals. So in terms of the goals in this run, we've had Willock with 3. It turns out remembering Chris Willock is employed by the club is a good thing. Chair and Dykes have 2 each, and Smith has 1. The assists in this run, Chair has 2, and then Powell, Field, and Willock all have 1. So obviously, Chair and Willock are the two that jump out. I think in the game this weekend against Hull, you had Willock to Chair and Chair to Willock, which I think got people really excited, thinking back to when it was good, sort of early last season. But I think one thing you noticed there, particularly in the attacking returns, I mean, yes, one of them was a penalty, but it's got a couple of goals from Dykes in there. There's Willock, there's Chair, there's Smith, there's Powell. All the players we'd be looking at all have returns. I think that's generally speaking the real positive for looking at QPR assets. Willock and Chair are obviously the headliners, and I think they should be. I think there will be times this season when Dykes is is an option. Not at the moment for me. But I think it does really bump up Powell, who was doing well already. But like with if they're going to be keeping more clean sheets, well, more half clean sheets, more full clean sheets, that's big for him. I think, you talked about Dunn. I was strongly considering him after talking to a couple of people. It was clear with Steve Cook having been rested and Clark Salter coming back that the first choice pairing was going to be Cook and Clark Salter, which we saw this weekend. Cannon is clearly the first choice at right back. And I think, I was talking to briefly to Chris Hermitage, our QPR correspondent. He said, particularly if you're looking for upside, Cannon is the one to go for on Budget Buster. I've spoken to a couple of QPR fans, and they also agreed that if you're looking for safety, Steve Cook is the way to go. So I think that sort of clarifies that. Powell, obviously a great option. Willock and Chair, just to round back to them, Chris did say they will now be in gaffer teams this season. And I think with the way they're playing, it's clear to see they're firmly re-establishing themselves as options. Unfortunately, it's not that long before Chair goes to AFCON. That's in game week 27, I think, is the first game week he'd miss. So even if people wanted to get onto Chair now, I don't think their run is that bad. You still get a little run with him before you have to sort of move him on or bench him. I also think the other one to mention just is Begovic. I've obviously mentioned the defenders there, but I think we've talked about goalkeepers and particularly cheap goalkeepers and budget buster goalkeepers. I think and people will be looking at cheapest keepers. I think Begovic is an option. For people. And yeah, I'm just, it's nice with some of these players to have them be options. And it's nice to have those teams at the bottom start sort of picking it up. And so I just thought it was worth sort of just putting a few numbers to them and sort of talking about them. What are your thoughts on QPR, Dan?
Yeah, one thing when I was looking at QPR is they seem to be doing better defensively because they've upped their possession in during the game. Maybe not so much the most recent game, but I think they're having a bit more of the ball, which obviously enables them to get up the pitch. With Ainsworth, it was pretty much just defend and then, well, it's basically hope Sinclair Armstrong would run the length of the pitch and set something up. So, yeah, I think option wise, I'm so annoyed. I've got Kai Kai. I've had him for ages just because he's cheap and obviously Cannon, the defender you probably want, especially with Budget Buster looming. Who do you prefer out of Chair and Willock? Because there's a 1.6 difference. It's quite a big difference there.
The price difference complicates things. In a vacuum, it would be Chair, without a
Yeah.
doubt. And I think I would still go Chair, but
That's a lot of money there.
it's a lot of money. I think it depends how people are looking budget-wise. Like, for example, Philogene's gone off at the weekend. If he's out for a little while, someone like Willock is a relatively easy move. So I think that's one where
I'm still here, Angus. Don't worry.
okay, that's right.
Well, I think my picture's froze.
Yeah, slight technical difficulty there. I'm not gonna edit out like 3 seconds, so I'll leave it there. But yeah, so Willock, I think, for example, as a Philogene move, makes a lot of sense to people, but I
Yeah.
think if you have the money to spend, I would go up to Chair.
I think that's fair. Do you think this run will continue? They've obviously got Plymouth and Sheffield Wednesday next. With their form, you'd like to think they'd be aiming for 4 points. And they've closed the gap on, well, they're now just a win away from getting outside of the drop zone, which a few weeks ago would you'd think was a long distance away from happening. So it's
Yeah, I
definitely
think
making them.
that Sheffield Wednesday game, as you say, is actually very interesting because Sheffield Wednesday are looking good themselves. And so I think that could
Yeah.
actually be a really interesting game.
Do you think with QPR that they've sort of dragged in Huddersfield, Stoke, Millwall,
Yeah.
Plymouth, Birmingham, that they've probably dragged in a lot of teams here where we thought, oh no, that they're going to be safe. And teams like Birmingham and Stoke haven't been playing great recently, so yeah, I'm glad it's a bit of excitement at the bottom because it did look at one stage it was near enough done and dusted. I know that sounds crazy when you're about a third of the way through, but.
Yeah, I think that's the thing where part of it is just positive that it's actually sort of, you did worry a little bit, like, is this going to get out of hand, sort of thing? Is this going to be dead? And I think that's where, particularly bringing in the likes of Huddersfield and QPR, and Sheffield Wednesday improving a little bit, has meant that, like, actually there's a number of teams that have to worry about it now and could be sort of back into it, which I think is like Sheffield Wednesday obviously have a little bit further to go, but I think they can sort of drag some of these teams in. And so I think, it is it the good thing is, like you say, it's more interesting now. But yeah, I think that's it really on QPR. It's just, I think they're very realistic options again, particularly no matter what your strategy is. If you've already played Budget Buster, if you're playing Budget Buster, I think there's something for everyone there with them now, which is always fun. But yeah, that's it from me. So I guess a hand over to you for your sort of key topic from this weekend.
Yeah, so I've picked Coventry. Got to watch them. I haven't seen too much of Coventry for a while, but they were the fr Friday game against Birmingham. And over the last five games, they've picked up 10 points. And this has coincided with formation change. At the start, they were continuing with the three at the back, and they were getting mixed results, although data-wise hasn't been terrible. But since the Stoke 0-0 game, they've changed to a 4-2-3-1. And it's obviously helping them out, especially with the results. Like I mentioned, they drew with Stoke 0-0. They beat Mill 3-0, beat Plymouth 1-0. They did lose to Ipswich 2-1, but Ipswich are a top six side, so it's not terrible. And obviously, they beat Birmingham 2-0. I think what's interesting is that's four clean sheets. When you consider that you'd thought maybe that they might struggle when they've got one less defender, but I think because they're trying, similar to QPR, play a more possession-based game, they're actually probably controlling the game from higher up the field. A lot of the time that they've been playing with Van Erik at right back. Bidwill's come in at left back, which I had De Silva when they sort of made the change. And they seem to be playing Thomas and Kitchen. McFadyen, who a couple of seasons ago, they really struggled when he was out the side. He's obviously getting a bit longer, older, and he can't play in the team in a back four. He has to play three in the back. So that's been interesting. They've then, a lot of the times they've been playing Sheaf with Eccles. Against Birmingham, it was more with Allen, who does have quite good legs, and he's been the last couple of seasons mainly been playing as a 10. But he played alongside Sheaf, and probably the most exciting news is Callum O'Hare's looks like he's back or getting back to fitness. Two goals against Birmingham this week, and just his finishes and composure on the ball, especially the second. It's a player they've been missing. Hopefully he can stay fixed. We all know how good he was a couple of years ago. The front three they played, especially against Birmingham, was Sakamoto on the right, Hadji right on the left, and Sims through the middle. They don't have too many like wingers, but whenever I've seen Sakamoto, he looks like a really good player. They seem to have not been able to get him in the team in the position he wants, but he had some nice touches at the weekend. Hadji Wright, just he gets chances, doesn't he, Angus? That's one thing you got to give him. He gets
Yes,
chances, he
you have to give
misses
him
them.
that. He won't take most of them, but you have to give him that he
He
will
gets
get
them.
chances.
Yeah, and then Sims, yes, struggled a bit so far, but they seem to have a sort of a settled formation now. But and you even look on their bench, and it's a lot deeper than what it was last year. You got De Silva on there, McFadyen, Latabodier, Ayeri, Eccles, Palmer. That's without Godden going to come back. I'm probably missing some more. So, but
Binks, who's a
overall,
decent young centre back,
Binks, yeah.
and Kelly, who's obviously solid midfielder, so they're covered sort of right across the areas of
Yeah.
the pitch.
I think it was always going to be an interesting transition because obviously they probably had the best striker. Well, they did have the best striker, really. Let's not make any qualms about that. They also lost Haymer, who was probably the best midfielder in the league. So they lost two key players, and they've definitely upgraded the squad. And we saw last year they went on a run that got them basically bottom to the playoffs. And like I wouldn't be shocked if they got in there again. Got one of the best managers in the league. Is there any players that interest you from Coventry, Angus? Obviously, they are a lot more expensive, especially defensively
Yeah,
this year.
so I mean, I've obviously been a fan of Van Evijk. I'm still a fan of him. I think was even his free kick that had to be tipped over the bar showed that he's got that element still. O'Hare, obviously, if he's going to be back, that's big. I
Chair
really like
Willock and O'Hare.
Sakamoto.
Yeah, Chair Willock and O'Hare in a weekend. Roll it. It's like it's 2 seasons ago.
And yeah, Sakamoto, really good player, and he was everywhere. That defensive work rate was incredible from him. And he's got the real ability going forward. Those would be the main three for me. Van Evijk, O'Hare, and Sakamoto. I think you can get sort of players in other areas from them. And you know, like you say, it's a little bit tougher to sort of, you know, chuck them in there because they are more. I'm just stalling slightly while I look up a couple of prices. Because, for example, someone like Bidwell, who's come back into the team now, they've gone to the back four. He's 5.8, which is probably too much, really. You're not really saving much. I mean, obviously, you are saving a little bit on the centre backs, but I'd probably just go for Van Evijk if I was looking for a defender. The other interesting one, particularly if they are going to improve, is Brad Collins at 4.9.
They've changed goalie, haven't they,
Yeah,
recently?
and I do think it's better with him. They do seem to have improved a little bit. There seems to be a little bit more like confidence, which feels harsh to some degree on Wilson, but if it's making a difference to the team, then you know obviously you're going to stick with that and everything. So I do think he's potentially an interesting one. You know, assuming this carries on, just because that 4.9 is easier to justify than when Wilson was in there at 5.5.
Well, we've mentioned, I know he didn't start at the weekend, but I wonder if that was more rotation. Eccles, he's for budget buster. I'm not sure how well he'll do, and hopefully he might get back into this side, but he can, I think he's on some set pieces. I don't know if that'll continue with Callum O'Hare and Sakamoto in the team though.
I think it probably will. But you know how many of them remains to be seen. But I do think he would probably still be on some of them, which obviously makes him a theoretical option at times.
Yeah, he's probably not a gaffer asset, but I think Ben Sheaf is one of the most underrated players in the championship, I think.
Very sort of solid player. You know, when people talk about sort of those more conservative midfielders and now I think there's a few of them in the division that are actually, you know, good players in there. And he does fit that bill for me.
Yeah, so for you, it's mainly just Van Erik, then maybe Callum O'Hare or Sakamoto if they can get a run in the team.
Yeah, I think those are the ones I'd be looking at, and I think it partially then depends what your structure is, what you're looking for. Again, for example, those people looking for a Philogene replacement, if he's out for a while. I mean, I'm assuming he's out. He might not be. Could one of them be sort of your option, for example? I think that's where it also depends what you're looking for, but I certainly think those are the main options from my point of view.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have more teams on the radar, more players on the radar, which QPR and Coventry are both providing us. But yeah,
Yeah.
so we'll just go on to any other points we have from this weekend. I'll start with one which wasn't necessarily from the action itself, but Alex Neil out at Stoke.
Yeah.
I can't say we're shocked. It hasn't exactly been great. I think there's been too much sort of, mixing and matching, and it still felt like he's been sort of searching for something in some way, which at this point in the season, when you've been in charge the whole time, isn't ideal.
For me, I know they brought in a lot of players, but like, I don't know what their, I've mentioned it a few, I don't know what their transfer policy is.
It's interesting because I
Because
think
they
I was saying to you
sign
to play devil's
like a
advocate because you were
certain
saying
player and you
it.
think,
Go on, sorry.
like they'd sign like a Wesley out of nowhere. And then they'd sign like I can't pronounce his name, but they'll sign the youngster from Colchester, who I think is a good player. So I don't know. They've obviously tried to go down a stats base, but then it seems like they then get a call from an agent, and they sort of get their head turned by a random player. And then they can't say no to a player like that. And then he doesn't know whether to play four at the back or five at the back. It's just a bit of a mess. You brought in Gooch, who's all right, but should he really be starting at right back? I'm not sure. It's like,
Yeah, I mean the problem is the alternative is Hoover, which particularly defensively is not a solution to anything.
yeah. It's a bit all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the thing I was saying to you, I think the one positive that you can take out of it is like with some clubs where when they fire the manager, you look at the squad and it's like, oh, they have to hire someone who plays like a back three or they have to hire someone who plays a 4-3-3 or, whatever. The one positive you can say with the squad Stoke have ended up with is they're not limited in the manager that they can get. I know it's
Yeah,
not
but
necessarily a great thing in terms of their squad building, but I think it, in some ways, at least they're not sort of limited in who they can look at. Like if, some clubs where it's like, oh, yeah, we'd really like this manager. But they play like a 3-5-2, and we don't have the players for a 3-5-2. Things like that, which obviously aren't the case here. I'm trying to paint the nicest possible picture of the situation. It's sort of the one positive I can think of is they could theoretically hire anyone.
what they need to do is they need to hire a manager that is quite stubborn in how he wants to play. He's going to play that way, whatever, and not change formation or change style. If that means you just scrape relic, like stay up. But going into the next season, he knows, say, he wants to play 4-3-3. He wants a target man, two quick wingers. They need to have someone who's probably similar to Russell Martin, who is not going to change the way they play for anyone. And that's the only way I can see him improving. But even then, they're probably going to have another massive turnover of players again, though.
Yeah, I mean, I know people are sort of have been making fun of him and have been talking about the way he was brought in. But at least with someone like Wayne Rooney, where Wayne Rooney has come in and said, we're playing a 4-2-3-1, we're, looking to play out from the back, etc., etc. So you know what they want to do. And so I think in some ways, even a situation like that, it's potentially going to take a little while. There might be some real pains. They might have to battle relegation, but that's the way they want to do things and everything. And I think particularly with Alex Neil, it was sort of like you say, are we playing a back three today? Are we playing a back four today? Let's see when the lineup drops.
Yeah.
Surely, that can't be a way to run things.
Who would you say would be an ideal manager there,
Oh
do you think?
God.
I've got no idea.
I was about to say, who do I want to wish Stoke City on? Part of me really wants to say just give it another go with Nathan Jones, but I don't think anybody wants
To see that the chaos.
that. I saw the other day, or I think it was today actually, that there's some of their fans that think they can get Graham Potter, which
No chance.
I did quite enjoy. So it's
It's not.
tough, really. Like it, pro like I'm not sure who the next person is. Where it's like, for example, where Bristol City have gone and got like Liam Manning or something like that. I don't know who the next person is, the sort of younger manager below. But maybe you've just got to try that. Because I think there's some decent players there. I'm sure Stoke fans will
Totally would
disagree with
disagree.
me, but I think there's some
Yeah.
decent. I think there's some decent players there. If you get a manager that plays a consistent, well, probably a better style of football consistently, I think that there's some players that could do a job there. But yeah, it's not ideal.
I'm just disappointed it didn't happen during our recording, Angus.
Yeah, I mean, let's not sort of jinx it. Someone might get sacked during this. Yeah, I suppose we had to cover the Alex Neil thing. What were any sort of key takeaways from the weekend for you?
I'm going to mention probably Ipswich again. Just they keep winning, don't they?
Yeah.
Again, gone away at Middlesbrough and they've won again. Is my prediction the worst one ever, Angus? It's looking like that, isn't it?
It's probably up there. Even if you account for the number of players that Borough had out, and apparently Borough did, were very much with Ipswich in this game, despite all their absences. But as you
Yeah.
say, Ipswich did get another win on the board.
I just can't believe this. At this point, I sort of hope they do it because I'm just going to turn my phone off if it happens because I know everyone's bookmarked my th my tweets on the on Twitter and everything.
Yeah, and I'd like even in that one, I mean obviously it was Connor Chaplin's day this weekend. Midweek it might be sort of Broadheads or Burns's or Davis's or whatever.
Yeah.
It's the way they aren't even just reliant on like one or even two players. They're getting sort of those returns from four or five players.
Do you think if, say, like Palace got rid of Hodgson and they went for McKenna, do you think McKenna would leave Ipswich?
I don't think so.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Because I think at the moment, particularly from the stories I've seen, he's looking at potentially being a Premier League manager next season. Like, I think if they were to, for some reason, like not go up, I think then you'd have at least a couple of Premier League teams making a move.
Yeah, I think so. What else then? I nearly forgot Norwich Preston happened, to be honest.
I don't have a lot of Norwich Preston takes, I'll be honest. I was going to talk about Leicester. Patson Daka appeared. We certainly didn't expect that one. No news on Iheanacho and Vardy, and then they're both out. That was fun. Captain Dewsbury Hall not involved in four goals. That was fun. But you know, I've spoken previously about Fatawu, who was very good in this. Mavadidi. We now know if Vardy and Iheanacho aren't there, then Mavadidi is on penalties. How often that's going to sort of matter, I'm not sure. But you know, that was another sort of detail in there. And Didi got a goal. But yeah, the main thing for me was just, you know, being reminded that Patson Daka exists.
Yeah. I think he'd only played, was it one or two games before that?
Something like that.
He hasn't even been coming on as sub.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, particularly because they've had Vardy and Iheanacho. It's sort of like, how much is he even going to get?
I feel sorry for Tom Cannon. He must have been thinking, Vardy and Iheanacho out, that's me out front. And then they go, no, Daka, you're in
Yeah, and
from
then
nowhere.
Cannon came off the bench, and I think it was his first minutes since he joined. So, yeah, that you know adds to the interest.
That's got get promoted with Leicester and come back down to the championship written all over it next year, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. The only other thing I had to add was I'm sort of glad that Sunderland got the win in the end, or we would have been talking about the offside Bellingham goal forever.
Oh God! I was watching Blackburn Leeds. So yeah, I didn't. I have seen it back, and it's terrible. I still don't want VAR. Having experienced VAR, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it. Keep it out of the championship as much as possible.
I will say, I did. It's not the same, but I would note to people, particularly the impact on someone like Millwall down the bottom, the penalty that Sunderland got last week, which was never a penalty that equalised against Millwall for them. You know, it's not saying, oh, it all evens out, because obviously it's not the same thing. But, you know, before almost like a rush to complaints and everything, and particularly, like you say, anyone starts mentioning VAR, just, you know, think about that sort of thing as well. And in that one, Pritchard, two assists off the bench.
I like Pritchard. He's such an underrated player.
I think there'll be a market for him because obviously he's going to leave in the
He's
summer.
out of contract. Yeah.
I think there will be a market for him.
There's Stoke written all over it, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, or like Preston.
Preston.
But yeah, I think that covers a lot of the big point talking points from the weekend's action. So let's get into the questions. I have to make sure I click the right tweet because I've also sent a questions tweet out for the Super League and no, I've got to make sure I click the right one. Okay, here we go. We've got six questions, so we should be able to zip through these relatively quickly. FPL Frog, if there was a
Love this question.
WWE style Royal Rumble of all current championship managers, who would win? Would David Wagner somehow cling on until the end? Well, if it's anything like his ability to cling on to his job, then absolutely.
Trying to think. There's always that one person, isn't it, who starts like one or two, and you forget he's in there by about halfway through, and then you realize that. Hang on a minute, he's still in there. He's hung on to the
And
rope,
like some
as you
of the, you know,
mentioned.
there's someone who like ends up going out, but like under the bottom rope, so they're still in, and then they sort of, you know, take a rest and then come back or whatever. I'm just looking through the managers, thinking about looking through the teams, thinking about the managers and who I would fancy in a sort of
In a Royal Rumble.
in that.
It's a shame Pearson got sacked because you'd probably have fancied him, wouldn't you?
I'm gonna go with Corberan.
Corbin. What tactically out fox and what I
But he's also full of energy and whatever. So I think particularly like, he'd be, and he seems like a little bit of a nutter once he gets going. Like once he gets wound
Yeah.
up, once he starts sort of jumping around, he gets he's sort of very sort of all action. So I think he could do well in something like that.
I've just got what Nathan Jones would be like if he was.
Nathan Jones would scrap till the bitter end if he was in there.
Yeah. You know the thing where they sort of get thrown over and then they hang on to the rope and they flip themselves back in.
But yeah, I'm gonna go with Corbrand.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
Man on Martin says Volks seems to be picking up regular bonus the last few weeks. Solid on Budget Buster. He's looking for at game week 22.
That's Chef Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I haven't eaten, I haven't looked at Chef Wednesday for a while.
So I think he's not the worst shout. I will say that.
Yeah.
Like I say, with their improvement and everything, I think a couple of these players could be more interesting. I'd be, I'd be cautious over it, but I think, you could do worse. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's Will Volks, isn't it?
It's like, I know that we're sort of,
He is 4.5. It's not, he's cheap, isn't he?
Yeah, I know that we're limited by sort of the
4.5.
budget and everything, but when you're looking at Budget Buster, do you really want to go to sort of like a Sheffield Wednesday mid?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of options in midfield, isn't there? Like, even someone like an, I know it might be fixtures, but even someone like Eccles, I know that's a million more, but yeah.
Potentially, but I'd probably I think the answer is potentially, but we'd probably fancy some other options first.
Yeah.
Auto Close Darren has just said Danny McDonald has a lot to answer for.
Right, I mentioned this to you. I've brought in Philogene. I've had him 2 weeks. The first week, I benched Dewsbury Hall. Now, I know that's my own fault, but he's missed a penalty that week. He's now decided to get booked and injured for a zero pointer. I'm never bringing in another Hull player ever again. There's only. Just wait until next year if Luton are down, then you can pick the orange coloured players. You had him the week before, didn't you, when he actually done something, Angus, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But I did captain him for the missed penalty. But I vice-captained him the week before when he got a couple of goals. So
Yeah.
that was sort of the one consolation. But I think a lot of people will be waiting on that update. I had him the week before as well. I've had him for a few weeks when he scored. So that was one of the few things that's gone well. but yeah, I think there will be people sort of anxiously waiting on that injury news, which I will say, I will tweet this out, but for those who are listening to the pod, for the midweek game week, I will not be doing any team news, particularly because for the sort of 2.5 hours or whatever before the deadline, almost literally the 2.5 hours before the deadline, I will be on a plane going up for a few days away. So I will
You
not
have
be doing
half
the team
holidays,
news.
Angus.
Yeah, I'm managing to time these holidays quite well in terms of dodging
Set
team
away.
news. But yeah, so I won't necessarily be able to help with the Philogene news either unless it comes out on Monday. So there's that as well. But yeah, I think it's been an interesting one. People's sort of relationship with Philogene and when they bought him, etc. But yeah, so the next one we've got here is from Nonstop FPL. So with only 9 points separating sixth and 21st, which teams do you think will make a mid-season charge into the playoff places?
I think the top five will be the top five in some order. And I think sixth place is going to be Coventry. I just think we've seen them do it last year. I still think they've probably got some money to spend in January as well. And they've got one of the best managers in the league. And data-wise, they've not been terrible either.
Yeah,
So I'm going to say
I think it's
Coventry is looking.
tough, but Coventry make a lot of sense. I am going to say, well, I mean, I've been saying this all along. I'm just going to stick with it. I've been saying Middlesbrough for the playoffs all along. I'm just going to stick with it. But I do like the Coventry pick a lot as well.
Yeah.
Billy Hathaway. Is Kaká a sell for Budget Buster 22 now?
I've had to play Kaká about three times and he's not done anything, so I'm just gonna leave it and just hope he somehow well I know this sounds bad, like an injury or something, but
Or like the rotation, he gets, that's the game he gets or whatever.
yeah, maybe. Like, I'm not even sure I'm gonna have 11 players for Budget Buster now.
I know I won't, and I'm fine with that, as it turns out. But I think if you have the luxury to sell Kaká, go for it. If it's stopping you from doing something else because you're moving that on, I'd if you have something better, then I'd go for that, to be honest. And FPL Klim has asked, "I got given how hard Budget Buster is to plan for, and the fact that you have to sell the best assets, could it be viable to not play it and play midfield dynamos instead, or is the upside of Budget Buster too big?" I feel
It's
like we've had
big,
this
but
question before.
yeah, and I'm with every week that passes, I'm more and more midfield dynamos, I think.
I think I've come around to the middle ground answer in terms of I would still play Budget Buster with like eight or nine over something like midfield dynamos, but I wouldn't be as fussed now about getting to 11. If you can, then great, but I think that's I've come around more to like eight on Budget Buster is actually good.
Yeah, I think in previous years we had a lot better options.
Yeah.
This year it does feel like very budget players, especially in defence, as we went through
Yeah.
them last week. Strikers, you do have options in strikers and in midfield,
Yeah.
but you think of some years we had like Elise and Brennan
Carvalho.
Johnson, yeah, Carvalho, and it's just not there this year,
Yeah,
really.
I think that's the slight issue, but I think midfield, you look at it as well with like obviously he's not fit now, but or he might be, we're waiting to see. Philogene, Azaz, Rowe, I mean Dan Neal keeps ticking along.
It's true, actually, yeah.
Miyoshi and Dembele at Birmingham, like we've talked about, Eccles, Matt Crooks, there's a number of midfielders there that are Jobe Bellingham, there's a number of midfielders that are actually decent options. They're not necessarily the best, but they're actually decent options, and so I think that's where it's sort of like it's not the quality of previous years, but there's enough there for me to make Budget Buster still worthwhile.
So you've named a lot of good midfielders. Do you think that the actual best formation is probably 3-5-2? And I know it's difficult because you might not want to sell all five of your mids because obviously eventually you're going to probably want Somerville, Clark, Dewsbury Hall, those three probably definitely back.
Yeah, I think if you were going, for example, with 11 budget players, I'd still say 3-4-3. If you're sort of taking that middle ground approach of like, oh, I'm going to play like eight budget players, then I think you're more looking at something like a 3-5-2.
I'm
But I
not
think
doing
that's
either that
probably
and
where
just
the slight difference is for me.
that makes a lot of sense.
But yes, that's all the questions. We didn't have as many of them this week, which has helped us sort of, get through them a little bit quicker. As I say, there won't be any injury news ahead of the midweek game week. I will tweet that out just to confirm and get the abuse about, occasionally going away. I didn't actually plan it out, which is the best part. And yeah, we won't have something before the weekend either. Because I'm not back till sort of Friday evening. not that we necessarily would have done something ahead of that anyway, but yeah, busy week. But yeah, so all that remains to say is thank you for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye.